the Bible, and I pray that you would speak through that as he shares and opens it up to us. Take away any sense of nerves, Lord. Bring him your peace, and just your spirit would be upon him in a mighty way tonight. Amen.
Hello, everyone. Today, I will be speaking to you on Luke 15. Does anyone know Luke 15? Hands up. Okay, that's fine. That's why I'm here. I don't know if this will stay. Hopefully it will. Basically, Luke 15 is three separate parts, and basically it's parables. If you don't know what a parable means, it's basically a story which teaches a lesson, a moral lesson, like love your neighbor or something like that. And it has on it the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. Now, I'm going to give you a bit of context behind this, if I get my slides, hopefully. There are a few times in the Bible where Jesus would be speaking in the synagogue, which is like kind of like church, but in the olden days, and also it's Jewish, but anyway. he'd be speaking directly from the what's known as the Old Testament. And also there was other times where he would do a one-to-one sort of thing with the disciples, a sort of personal level. But in this instance, he was talking to the tax collectors and to the sinners as well. Tax collectors, if you don't know, is basically people who collect money from people in the surrounding areas and on behalf of the Roman Empire, who were occupying the land. And also sinners, outcasts of society. And they can be applied to, we do have sinners, and, well, in essence, we're all sinners, we all strayed, but most of the time, these sinners back in the day would have been nowhere near a synagogue, never heard of a synagogue or whatever. And in this, he was speaking to, he wasn't speaking the scriptures, he was speaking through parables, through stories, in to them to get the message across. And when I was reading up about this, I read the Message version, which is a different type of Bible, which makes it a bit easier to understand what it meant and all of that. And basically, it says that these people have never heard the good news, which we believe is Jesus coming back and dying for our sins. And basically, it says on it that they were listening intently, which is awesome. Because, well, I mean, if Jesus was speaking to me right now, I'd be really listening intently because that's just amazing. But it's the sort of thing that he was telling is giving them hope, which no one was giving hope to them in the past. And it was different to the culture of the day. You know, you'd have to give offerings and stuff like that to be able to be forgiven. The first one is the lost sheep. And that should be a little, it's a little lamb. I got this today and I was like really pleased with it because it's so cute. But this is kind of it, but not really, because you can see some lamb or sheep in the background. But anyway, basically, it's about the lost sheep, but I've kind of given it each catchphrase for you to remember. And basically, it's called You're Worth It. The funny thing about this is I was thinking about like what I should give each like parable a name for. And my dad, who's completely bold, if you know him, completely bold, went, "You're worth it." And then when I was like, "What?" And it's like, "L'Oreal." I was like, "Dad, you don't use shampoo." But anyway, hopefully he won't listen to this. You're worth it. If you don't know the story, sheep gets lost. Ooh, crazy. Then farmer goes out, treks out, and also, like, I was discussing this today with my dad. You often see in the news stuff like farmers or like you just see like rescues. I don't know about you, but I see a lot of like rescues of like sheep on like cliff sides and up in the mountains. It's quite drastic, but anyway. But the story is that the farmer went out to, kept the other 99. He had 100 to begin with. 99 kept them safe altogether. Nice flock. Great job. And then they had the one sheep, and he went out searching for him. But if you were to think about it, I'll put this in your perspective, and mine as well. If you were to have a £10 note and you lost 10p of that, would you be that annoyed? Would you look for it? I probably wouldn't. I'd be happy with the 9.90. So, but he was going out to look for this one last sheep, even though it wasn't worth much in accordance to like whatever money it was. But if you have 99 of something, you wouldn't really search for the other one, would you? I'm going to put this down here. So basically, this farmer went to extraordinary lengths to find that one lost sheep, even though it wasn't technically worth, in the world sense, it wasn't worth much, but to him, it meant a lot. So in our lives, we might feel like this lost sheep, or just other people in our school, family, I don't know, but might not feel worth it, or, you know, no one's coming out to get us, but Jesus wants to meet us. Jesus wants to love us. That's what he's trying to convey in this parable. And when I was thinking about it and what he was saying through it, basically I just had, as soon as my dad said that, even though I was laughing at him at the time, it so made sense. You're worth it. So we're all worth it. We're all worth that extra trek to find, even though 99 was still there. And it brought me to the typical Christian, John 3:16. If you don't know that, it's God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Basically, that means if you believe in Jesus, you'll go to heaven, simplified. And basically, I want to ask you a question. Why would any farmer go for the one if he has 99? Maybe he hates odd numbers. Would he not get rid of the other one, just chuck it out, and then have 98? No. Yeah. But that kind of, unless God's a perfectionist, maybe. But, oh, he is, yeah, he loves us all. But, yeah, and he'll go to extraordinary lengths to find us, like farmers do, go to cliff sides, all of that. So basically, we're all important to God, and we're all worth that extra trek to get to, from God's perspective. Now, the second parable is the lost coin. And this has the title, You're Worth It. No, not You're Worth It. Sorry, You're Precious. Smeagol. There's some coins. I'm not providing free samples of this. But basically, this one is about a woman who loses some silver, or if we apply it today, I'd probably say it's about 50 quid, maybe. That's quite a lot to lose. I don't know how she lost it. But she lost it on her house. And basically, the story says she looked everywhere. She's very thorough. Looked through all the house because it was important to her. In essence, in the world today, I'd say money is quite an important thing to get around. But it meant so much to her. And I think she was a widow as well at the time. So that also meant that, you know, paying for the house or just paying for daily commodities and stuff like that. But at the end, she rejoices and when she finds it. And that's the same with God to us. When he finds us and he's searching for us, like in the lost sheep, he will rejoice when he finds us and encounters us. I've got a question for you. Who has lost something really valuable? Put your hands up. Okay. I'm going to go through a list. Have you lost your smartphone? Have you lost your smartphone more than 3 times? Anyway, I think I've lost pretty much everything I own, which is bad. But yeah. But anyway, that is quite an important thing in life, to have your precious items and keep them. Now, for me, whenever I lose something, Mum knows it. That's my life. Basically, I've got a story about my parents went on a missionary trip to Cambodia, and I was left alone to fend for myself. I survived, as you can see. And basically, I had to iron. Strange thing for me. I don't really like ironing. I don't do ironing. But basically, I needed to find the iron. Couldn't find it. And then I messaged my mum, And then she messaged me, and apparently it was right, well, basically it was in front of my eyes all the time, right next to the toaster, which I had toasted bread, every day. So, but anyway, that was I diverged, if that's the right word. In the parable, the woman goes to every length to find it. I technically went to every length to find the iron, but I just wasn't on it. But in the parable, she lights a lamp, sweeps the house, so she does some household tasks as well, which is quite incredible, and searches carefully until she finds it. And then she has a party when she finds it. Who would have a party whenever they found something? Anyone? No. Depends what it is, yeah. I guess, I don't know. But that's quite a strange thing. But it indicates how much that was worth to her. It probably could have been like a lot of money, but I don't really know the specifics. But basically, God wants to find every one of us because we like that coin to the woman, precious. He'll go to every length to find us and to love us. And again, it speaks of rejoicing over, angels rejoicing over finding someone lost. So you're all precious. Okay, we're storming through these. I like it. The lost son. Now, this one's probably the most famous, I'd say. And it's the final story of the three. And the basics of this story is there's two sons. And obviously there's an older son and a younger son, but I've written it down anyway. And one asks for his inheritance. And that's quite a lot. Like, that's the thing that your dad or, I don't know, that was an old-fashioned thing, but it would have been a lot of money that your parents had saved for you when they died. You'd get it, but he asked for it earlier. And there's two sides to this story in particular, and that's represented by both sons, the older and the younger. The younger goes off and spends all his money, finds himself in a situation where he's eating worse off than a pig. I don't know how you could do that, but anyway, because he managed to get a job because he had no money left, so he had to be a servant and feed pigs. But but he ended up in a terrible state because of his greed, because some mistakes that he made. And the other side of the story is that the older son, who stays with his father, being, you know, loyal to him, working really hard in the field for him. But then the younger son finds out, realizes what he's done. He's been a bit silly, you know, squandered all his money. But then he says that he shamed his father by doing so. Then he goes to the father to meet him and says that he's no longer worthy to be called a son. I think that's a massive thing. But he sort of gets into that edge where he's open about what he's done. He knows he's made a mistake. But the father, like God, had unconditional love for him. In fact, I don't know how old the father would have been at the time, but he probably, I'm guessing, about 50 or 60. And it's written that he runs to him. So not just like, hey, son. He actually runs to him at an old age, hugs him, and accepts him back, because it doesn't matter what he's done it's in the past. The important thing is that he returned. And the important thing to remember in our day-to-day lives is that no matter how much we've messed up, I believe, like, I've messed up a million times, and that was just the last week, but God still loves us and wants to draw near to us and to draw near to him. And basically, these three parables have the similar theme of just being lost, but it kind of teaches us that God is a loving God, as we know. No matter what we've done, no matter where we are, if we're feeling lost at the moment, he still loves us. We're precious to him, just like the silver. Sometimes we do feel lost in our lives, maybe feel unloved, but you know, God says we're worth it, we're worth the extra trek, we're worth everything. And we're important to God, no matter what you feel in life. Basically what I wanted to do, if it was all right, is if you feel lost in life, if you feel that you need a touch with God, if you feel like any of the, like a lost son, like the lost sheep or something, just talk to, we'll probably get into like groups or I don't know, but talk to a leader if you want, talk to a friend, but pray with one another. Pray with one another that we would be able to feel God's love again, and invite him back to our lives. And if we haven't heard that from God ever, and it's our first experience, then we could just invite him into our lives if you want. That'd be fantastic. And also another challenge is if you do feel God's love and you're with him, you're walking with him right now, if you have any people in your hearts that you may feel are lost, or you know you want them to know God and to love him and know his love, then you can pray for that. Grab a leader, talk to a friend. So yeah, if that's all right, we could, if you fancy it, go to talk to one another. Could we have some music or something to make it less awkward? I won't be providing the music. All right, guys. I was about to congratulate you for your discussions, but we're going to probably start worshiping now. I'm going to just say a quick prayer for us guys, and then we're going to start with some worship. So if you'd like to bow your heads and close your eyes, that'd be great. Lord, I just want to thank you that, you know, you're here with us, Lord, and you're always here with us. Lord, no matter where we are in life, you know, if we're feeling lost, feeling abandoned, unloved, or whatever, Lord, that you're there for us. Lord, I just pray you'd let us know that, you know, we're precious to you, Lord. You know, we're loved by you, and we're worth everything, Lord, that you've done for us, Lord. And I just pray that you just help us in this coming weeks to know this throughout our lives. And for those who feel a calling to talk to others about God's love, that they would be able to speak about it and to be bold for you, Lord. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. If you'd like to stand and stuff.